In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Today we celebrate the four feasts of the entry of the Most Holy Theotokos into the temple. And this will actually take place, you know, tomorrow with the Divine Liturgy and tonight at Vespers. But today's the four feasts, so we're preparing for this. And this is one of the 12 great feasts of the Church and marks the time when Mary's parents, righteous Joachim and Anna, brought their three-year-old child Mary to be dedicated to God in the temple at Jerusalem. The high priest Zacharias, who is also the future father of St. John the Baptist, received the child Mary and, to the surprise of many, led her right into the Holy of Holies. Mary then grew up in the temple, spending her time in prayer, studying the scriptures, making handcrafts to adorn the temple, and was often visited by the angels of God. The Kantakion hymn of the feast says that the all-pure temple of the Savior is led today into the house of the Lord, and with her she brings the grace of the Holy Spirit. Of her, God's angels sing in praise. She is indeed the heavenly tabernacle. So the Church also sees this feast as a feast which really marks the end of the physical temple in Jerusalem as the dwelling place of God. And then Mary, who will bear the incarnate God in her womb, actually is a holier temple than the sanctuary in Jerusalem. And it is fitting that these two temples, in a sense, should meet. But here it is the living temple which sanctifies the temple which is built. Well, every Christian who has received baptism has likewise become a temple of the Holy Spirit. As St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Well, the Most Holy Theotokos set an example for us to follow by her life of virtue and purity, for we all are called to mystically become bearers and temples of Christ. So Most Holy Theotokos, pray to God for us. Well, today's gospel about the foolish rich man is very appropriate for the Nativity season in contrasting concerns about the world with concerns about our heavenly treasure. The rich man has received a bountiful harvest by God's merciful providence. As St. Nikolai Vlimirvich observed, the rich man did not cause the sun to shine and the rain to fall and his crops, but God provided all this in his mercy to us. And yet God calls the rich man foolish because he thinks his abundant harvest was entirely due to his own efforts and that all the fruits now belong exclusively to him. Had he been a little more humble and given thanks to God for his bountiful harvest, he would have taken an important step in the right direction. Then, had he thought about God's commandment to love our neighbor, he should have given some thought to offering a portion of his abundant harvest to the poor who didn't have anything to eat and were in danger of starvation. And in doing so, he would have built up treasure in heaven, and God would have been well pleased to him, and probably we would not have been given this parable, you know, because then there would have been not much point in it. However, the rich man had a selfish and ungrateful disposition and was mainly concerned about his lack of storage space. St. Theophylact remarks, Does not the pauper say the same thing as well? What shall I do? I have nothing to eat or to put on. If both the pauper says, "What shall I do because I have not?" and the rich man says, "What shall I do because I have not?" then what do we gain by gathering more and more? We do not gain any rest, and it is clear from all the cares that come from our further efforts that we are piling up for ourselves only a great multitude of sins. Well, this is an image, really, or an illustration of the passion of avarice or of greed, which is one of the seven, you know, mortal sins, the seven deadly passions. And it's on full display in this parable. And yet we can also see how this foolish rich man is actually very poor spiritually. He may be rich for the moment in material things, but he's very poor spiritually, impoverished. As the Lord said, "Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So the way that we build up our heavenly treasure then is by exercising ourselves in all of the virtues and the acquisition of the Holy Spirit, which, as St. Seraphim of Sarov reminds us, is the main purpose of our life here on earth. St. John Chrysostom has some advice for anyone who's open to it. He says, "Have you eaten your fill? Remember the hungry. Have you quenched your thirst? Remember the thirsty. Are you warm enough? Remember the frozen. Have you made merry at a party? Bring merriment to the sad and the sorrowful. Have you been honored as a rich man? Visit and relieve those in need. If you are merciful and indulgent towards others, you will yourself be shown mercy when your soul leaves your body. It is during this time of the Nativity fast that the Lord, through the Holy Church, directs us to purify our minds and hearts with the practice of prayer, fasting, and doing all the good that we can, supporting God's Holy Church and giving to charity in support of those in need. O Lord, we pray that you will help us in this season of your Nativity to prepare ourselves by cleansing the temple of our mind, heart, soul, and body, that with your help we may be made worthy for your Holy Spirit to abide in us. Glory be to our God. Glory.